The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. You can find us on Twitter at Bastards_Boston. I'm your host, Charlie Smith, coming to you from Los Angeles, California, by way of Providence, Rhode Island. You can find me on Twitter at Smith_MLB. Our other hosts for this episode are Nick Diamond, coming to us from Broward County, Florida, and Terry Cushman, coming to us from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. When you hear Terry, you're going to think he ran from Maine today. Nick, how are you doing? Where can the fans find you?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this episode right now. And you guys can find me on Twitter at ndiamondmedia.
Excellent. Terry, have you caught your breath yet?
It's a little bit worse than the...
Shucks.
Yeah, but it's all good. And find me on all the apps, CushmanMLB on Twitter. Terry Talks Sox on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. We're everywhere. Come find us.
Excellent. So for this episode, we're going to do something a little different. The Bastards are going to talk about a potential trade that came about via an article on The Athletic that was heavily covered by Ken Rosenthal. So for those members that have a membership with The Athletic, you can check this article out. And essentially what it's talking about is a potential move that considers the option of maybe adding Alex Bregman, making him the third baseman, perhaps moving Rafi Devers away from third for his long-term health, and making a move for an elite starter with the Seattle Mariners. So, Nick, why don't you lead us off with the trade that's presented and any tweaks that you would make to make this trade perfect in your eyes?
The basis of the trade was, the two main pieces were Tristan Casas from the Red Sox going to the Mariners for George Kirby. The other pieces going back to the Mariners were Miguel Blyce and... who else was it?
Mickey Romero,
who broke out this year, kind of was struggling the last 2 years. I know Bloom drafted him mid-first round, I think in 2022, and he finally had a good season this year. So I kind of don't think I would give up on him yet. Maybe he does break out. And Miguel Blyce, I think, is selling low on a right-handed bat, a young right-handed bat the Red Sox don't have many of right now besides Christian Campbell in the minor leagues. But I really don't hate the idea of signing a right-handed bat like an Alex Bregman, like a Willy Adames, or an outfielder maybe, and then trading Tristan Casas to the Mariners or another organization. But right now we're thinking about the Mariners. So I like the basis of the trade. Like I think it could happen. The Mariners definitely need offense, but I don't think – Tristan Casas for George Kirby gets it done straight up at all. So I think there more has to be added. I don't think Miguel Blyce would be a guy I would add to the trade. I don't know how the Mariners value him at all, but I think he's a guy that we're selling low on, and I think there's other pieces you can give up that are a better fit to give up at the time.
Terry.
Well, let's kind of compartmentalize it here. As far as Tristan Casas being traded, I'd put it at 51%. More likely than not, I think he does get traded. You're going to have to get more balanced here. And I don't think they want to trade Teal, Meyer, And I definitely don't think they want to trade Anthony, who is now, according to some publications, the number one prospect in all baseball. So you can trade Casas. He's got some baggage, you know, lots of injury history. I don't know how to describe his personality. Maybe eccentric could be a word. But, you know, he doesn't necessarily blend in with the clubhouse. I wouldn't call him toxic by any means, but I think he can be a bit of a distraction. And I don't think Alex Cora or Craig Breslow would hate the idea of moving on from Casas. I don't think he's untouchable anymore. And I'm doing a complete 180 from where I was at last winter. So that's number one. Number two, I love George Kirby. And I can't think of many guys I would rather trade in for instead. I mean, Tarek Skubal, obviously, but I think the Tigers need him just as desperately as anyone else does. And they're on the verge of a playoff run here, of which he can be starting some really big games for them in the month of October. So I would say Skubal is out. I would much rather have a George Kirby guy over a Garrett Crochet. And this wouldn't quite be the magnitude of trading for Chris Sale, but it's pretty damn close. George Kirby is an ace. He walks nobody. He would cost $1 million next year, literally, because he's pre-arbitration. You got 4 years of control left on him. We talked about, well, you know, what about Logan Gilbert? I would be fine with that as well, but Gilbert has one less year of control, so therefore Kirby, to me, a little bit more desirable. I like Brian Wu. I don't think he quite has the ceiling of a Gilbert or a Kirby, but he's a quality pitcher, and he's got 5 years of control left. I really do desire Kirby, and if they traded for him, it would really signify a change in philosophy that we've desperately needed to see in the last several years. I've said two or three times recently, the last meaningful pitching acquisition we made, whether it was trade or free agency, was Nathan Eovaldi in 2019. It's been 5 years since then. So I think this would be a big step forward, and I am more than willing to put Tristan Casas in that deal. I know Rosenthal mentions Bregman. I wouldn't mind it. I would think he would probably be I think he's coming into his age 31 season, so that should be no more than a 6-year deal worth 150 to 170, I would say, depending on what the average annual value is. I would do that. I don't think the Red Sox would do that. I don't think that would be like a corresponding move to replace Casas. I think they'd get a mid-level guy with some pop and call it good. You know, nobody they would be spending a ton of money on, in other words. But I love the idea of getting George Kirby.
So when I think of like the crazy like blockbuster moves, I think of the one that the Padres made with the Nationals when they went out and got Juan Soto, and they traded away CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, James Wood in there, and they got Luke Voit as well. That completely backfired for San Diego. You gave away CJ Abrams, who's one of the most elite up-and-coming shortstops at the time. Mackenzie Gore, same thing as a starting pitcher. Both have done very, very well. James Wood just made his debut this year, and now it looks like Washington could be setting themselves up for a really nice streak. And all this with Strasburg gone. you know, just completely playing himself out of the game with his issue with an injury, just completely blew him out. I do want George Kirby too. And I'll help Tristan pack his bags. I'll help pack his accessories. I'm sure he's got a little bit of everything. I at first was really in the boat of, okay, let's trade Tristan Casas and try to get, you know, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Vladdy's been playing out of his mind. It's going to cost a heck of a lot more. But what we want and what will actually happen are two completely different things. You know, the Boston Red Sox are not as willing to part ways with minor leaguers. You saw the Padres part ways with three top-tier minor leaguers just to get a taste of Juan Soto. If Juan Soto was a pitcher at the time, he'd be, you know, quantify it. Who would you equate to Juan Soto at the time when he was a Washington National before he got traded? What pitcher?
Like, who would be the
equivalent? Who's the equivalent pitcher if there was an equivalent pitcher value to Juan Soto at the time?
Jacob DeGrom in his prime.
I like it. I like DeGrom.
Like, with 2 years left on his deal.
Right. Pre-injury and all that garbage, right? I think that's fair.
2019, when they won the World Series with Soto.
I love Jacob DeGrom. I stupidly made a trade for DeGrom, and he didn't play for my fantasy baseball team, Terry. I think that was one of the first years you were on it, and I just got absolutely destroyed. It would take an arm and a leg now, I think, to get Vladimir Guerrero. You're going to have to give one of your probably top three players or your top three prospects. If you're going to try to get somebody like George Kirby, Seattle's going to command a haul because of what you just said, Terry. You've got an extra year of eligibility above Logan Gilbert. It's not like getting Wu on your team. And some other players and pitchers that I'm not necessarily really married to the idea of getting rid of, I would not let any pitchers in any capacity get moved in this trade if you're going to do it. Trading pitching to get a pitcher, it's illogical in this sense because this is not a position of depth for us. So Hunter Dobbins is someone that I like. I don't want to move him. He's someone that they drafted a couple years back, and I think by 25, 26, we're going to see him pitching for the Boston Red Sox, and he'll be on the Jaron Duran train with not being arbitration or a free agent eligible player until his early 30s at that point in time. Hopefully he's up sooner rather than later. Of the prospects that you have, they talked about Miguel Blaise. I don't know if they would ask or if they would try to get someone like Marcel Amer, and the injuries have started to creep up and become a problem to the point where I'm a little bit annoyed. It's gonna cost you probably one of your top three or four guys. They're not willing to part ways with them, but if you want to get the deal done and you're gonna be serious about the deal, you're gonna have to part ways with one of them. And here's the thing: you want to have all the best prospects. But eventually they're going to have to blossom. They're going to have to make their way out of AA and AAA and make their way onto a roster. It will not always be with the Boston Red Sox. And on top of that, not all of these prospects are going to hit. You are going to have to risk it. Now, on the flip side, if this trade were to backfire, this would be the exact opposite situation that the Mariners and the Red Sox had in the late 90s. Over 25 years since the Red Sox and Mariners made that trade to get Derek Lowe and Jason Varitek for Heathcliff Slocum. And it will go down as one of the most lopsided trades in favor of the Red Sox ever. And to my knowledge, I think the two most lopsided trades that didn't go for us, and I'm not talking about Babe Ruth, I'm talking about Jeff Bagwell when we let him go, and the Mookie Betts move. You know, people are going to complain and say, well, you couldn't have possibly said that about Chris Sale because who knows what's going to happen in 2025. the Red Sox are no stranger to making moves that don't necessarily benefit their team. Again, I will say that if you want to get the deal done, Costas is a part of the deal. One of your top three or four players are a part of the deal, and probably someone just outside the top 10, all a part of the deal. I, again, would not move any pitchers. Nick, I think I saw you wanted to say one more thing.
I want to go back to kind of what Rosenthal was talking about Costas. I think it's either one of two things. Either, like Terry said, he's going to get moved. He thinks it's going to happen. Or the Red Sox are still trying to sign an extension with him. They're trying to get him to lower his price. I still think, like, why aren't they letting him hit against lefties? Why is Cora pinch hitting for him? Like, there's no baseball explanation that you could say that Romy Gonzalez is a better baseball player than Tristan Casas. Like, you can't tell me anything that would believe me, make me believe that he's a better baseball player. But I think they're trying to get Tristan Casas' value lower so they can lowball him in a extension. If he doesn't take an extension, I think there's a good chance that they move on from him, because they have to move a lefty, and why not move the lefty that refuses to agree to a long-term deal? So I think they're going to try to go back to the extension route. If not, he might be on a different team by January.
Terry.
It's an interesting question. I don't think Costas has a ton of leverage at the moment. I thought he had a ton of leverage last winter, I feel like. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm a GM and I've decided I'm going to keep him and that this type of a trade just isn't plausible for me right now, I'm still not that motivated to make a hasty move for a lot of money. I want to see at least a couple more years of consistent health and consistent pop. I mean, you look at, he doesn't hit a lot of doubles. It's just not his thing. He can't leg those out. I think he's more flawed than how we look at him. And I think it's appropriate to sell at this point on him, but I don't think backing up the Brinks truck is the right thing under any scenario.
Nick, anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah. I don't think I would pay him right now either at this point. He's not proven anything. They're not even letting him hit against lefties. And that's the whole purpose of this move, is to get better at hitting left-handed pitching. Would it be to bring in a right-handed third baseman, or maybe Vaughn Grissom would be the new third baseman or second baseman, whatever they do with Campbell and third base, who knows at that point. Or they could go to the first base route. I think there's just more options if you trade Casas over maybe Willy Abreu, because the outfield, you know, Willy Abreu could be a separate trade later on if Roman Anthony's knocking on the door hitting 30 bombs in AAA by June. You know, like, you have to call him up at that point. It doesn't have to be George Kirby. It doesn't have to be the Mariners. I would explore Casas to other teams, other pitchers, maybe Sandy Alcantara, maybe the Marlins. I don't know, just other pitchers too. So I'm not just sold with the Mariners. I think the Mariners have so many good pitchers, so there's a lot of options you can start with, but I think you could look other places, not just the Mariners here. So
I know that you're in Florida, so Sandy Alcantara is a name that, you know, would ring true. I saw him pitch in 2023, funny enough, against the Dodgers, and he went the full nine. But he didn't pitch this year, and we don't know what we're going to get back. I think the Marlins would be more than happy to part ways for just Tristan Casas, just to do a one-for-one, because at that point, the Red Sox would be making a huge risk in potentially getting a pitcher that could never be the same again. And the Marlins on the flip side could potentially have a first baseman hit 35 to 40 home runs for the next 3, 4, 5 seasons. Who knows? I don't see it happening, but I think anything's possible. I would want a little something more than just Alcantara based on what I saw in his last full season in the bigs.
So a comparison I can make there is the Chris Sale trade, kind of. Alcantara won a Cy Young, what, in 2022? He had a decent year in 2023, not as good as 2022, obviously. But and then he had right before the playoffs, he got Cy Young. So, or not Cy Young, Tommy John. So he probably comes back by opening day next year, right around that time. So I think it'll be like a Chris Sale trade, but he's younger than Chris Sale. So maybe not Tristan Casas, but maybe a Willy Abreu might be the kind of guy that you have to trade to get him. But the Marlins have said they're not going to trade him, but the Marlins are liars, so you never know.
Yeah, T.
Let's say Casas does get traded, and you're looking at some options externally for first base. One, I don't love this one. I think it could be interesting. It's not my first choice, but you might be able to get Paul Goldschmidt on a one-year deal. He's, you know, his average is a bit lower. I think he's hitting around 245 right now, but he still hit over 20 bombs. He's a righty. If you want some veteran leadership, that's a guy you can plug in at first base for a year or two. Another guy, if you don't quite want to pay a guy like Bregman, but you don't mind giving up maybe a three-year deal, a really, really intriguing guy that's a free agent this year, at least according to Spotrac, let me double check, and Baseball Reference. So he's definitely a free agent. Christian Walker of the Diamondbacks, 33 years old. Probably get him on a three-year deal. Let's see. Actually, well, he'll be 34 in late March, so next year would be his age 34 season. But he's a perennial 30 to 35-100 guy. Right-handed bat, perfect to slot third through fifth, somewhere in there, wherever you think he fits. So that's an option. He's making about $10 million this year. I don't know. I have no idea where to place his market beyond him getting probably at least a three-year deal. Maybe 3 years, $60 million, I think, would be a good starting point. But certainly something I would be open-minded to if Casas does get moved.
We were toying with the idea of Casas moving at so many points during the season. Ultimately, I'm okay adding Christian Walker, but what do you think it's going to cost to get him? Mind you, he did spend some time on the IL this year. He's an absolute stud, and if he's there, he's going to grind as hard as possible for you. He's going to try his – I mean, also, right-handed bat, green monster, 3,100, not completely out of the question. He'll be cheaper, I think, than Pete Alonso. So if that's the option that you're going to go with, then that makes more sense. Sure, you'd probably be able to get him for 2 or 3 years, but you're going to overpay. You're going to way overpay to get Christian Walker. And who knows how much after 2 of those 3 years is going to be of value. You're getting minimum 1.5 to 2 years of solid play from Christian Walker there. At that point, yeah, Casas is gone. Because Casas is not going to play any other position. He's too slow. Athletically, he's not the most gifted. Clearly can't stay healthy. And I don't know. I mean, you've mentioned more than once, Terry, about like his like mindset and play style and all that might fit perfectly well in Toronto. So it makes more sense with him going that way for, you know, bringing on Vladdy Guerrero. You don't need Vladdy and Christian Walker. So ultimately, I pray that we don't get fleeced when we trade Casas, because I really don't see him fitting here. I don't think it's going to be, you know, Vaughn Grissom becoming a first baseman. I don't think it's going to be like that. But yeah, Nick, go ahead if you want to add one more thing.
No, I just wanted to say I absolutely love Christian Walker. You asked about like a comp. So the first thing that popped in my head was Nick Castellanos. Castellanos was younger when he got his contract for 5 for $100. So Christian Walker, I think, might get 4. We make him 37, 38 at the end of his contract. So I would do it. But the only thing is, I think Vlad Guerrero Jr. is going to free agency no matter what. And I would love to be in on it. I don't think the Red Sox will be in on it, but I would love if the Red Sox were throwing out $400 million offers for Vlad Guerrero Jr. or whatever it takes to get him. Like, I would love to have him playing first base at Fenway Park for the next 10 years batting with Devers. Like, he's perfect. It's the closest thing to Manny and Ortiz. Like, it's not going to happen, but I would love to keep the door open for that to be a chance. So I'd love Christian Walker, but I'd stay away from it just in case for that 1% it happens.
I think it's a pipe dream, but I think you have to play the odds that Christian Walker coming to Boston has a higher probability than the Red Sox pulling the trigger and sending Casas and, you know, Marcelo Mayer or Abreu or whoever Toronto's going to command to get that deal done. Because at one point, Jaren Duran was tradable. And then he just kept playing his way into not being available. Pete Abe had mentioned that all Red Sox, I believe it was Pete Abe, and I could be misspeaking. If I am, I apologize. I thought it was Pete Abe that mentioned that all players should be available. Every player would be available. I'm not 100% on who said it. I thought it was Pete Abe. If that's the case and everyone's available and you try to blow it up and trade somebody like Rafi Devers, what message would that send to incoming players that might want to come to Boston? There has to be a certain list of players that are not available for trade. Devers is on that list by default based on, one, his contract is ridiculous, and two, the message. You made a commitment to a player. You made a commitment. You have to honor that commitment. You hope that he honors that commitment as well. I think Devers has done everything he possibly can to honor that commitment. Injuries, unfortunately, in 2024 were a huge issue for him. It was unlucky. It was what it was. But the odds of Vladdy coming here, you want to sling a $400 million deal, then it becomes okay, cool. You weren't willing to give a $400 million deal to your homegrown guy. So there's that issue too. I think I would love for him to be here for the next decade. I think it's great. I think that'd be amazing. But it's going to be a pipe dream. I think he's going to end up going to another team that's willing to open up the pocketbook and actually, to your point, Nick, give him that $400 million deal that not only he wants, but he's going to deserve.
So I don't think he's going to get $400 million. He could get 3, and I think it would be in the lower 3s if it does happen. But
sir, it's possible. If you sign him to an 11-year deal, I think that's possible. That's like 36, 35. 30.
I think if he repeats this season again, it's happening.
Well, how old is he again? He's what, 26?
He's 25, 26. Yeah. If you give him 36 mil at 11 years, that's just a hair under 400 million. I think that's possible. That would keep him there for the rest of his career.
Okay. You could be right, and if it's a 12-year deal, yeah, it would. I admittedly was looking at it as more of a 10-year deal, but regardless, the bigger point I was getting to is the Red Sox, if they want Vladimir, and they're close to the top of the market, I don't even think they even need to be the number one bidder. You know, if let's say they offer 4. Let's say the Dodgers offer 420. I think the Red Sox are going to win out just because Vladimir loves Fenway Park. He says nothing but great things about hitting here. I think they just have to be close. I don't think they have to win the bidding war. And I think they know that right now. So if they were to say this winter, no, we prefer Christian Walker, then I think that's just what they prefer. That's the situation they'd rather be in. And I'm fine with that. I would probably prefer that, to be honest. I'm always going to prefer the shorter term, you know, deal, even if it's still high average annual value. And for the record, the more I was thinking about it as you guys were giving your takes, I think Walker maxes out at, you know, JD Martinez money on an annual value. So that would be about, you know, 60 to 65 million over 3 years. So again, if Vlad is what they want and it's the best kept secret in Boston for now, that's what's going to happen. I'm good with that too. I really am. But Walker is a low key slam dunk win for the Red Sox if they do decide to go that route.
Anything else you want to add?
Does anyone know if Freddie Freeman's a free agent after next year? Because if he is, Vlad is coming straight to LA.
No, Freddie signed another one of those crazy. I mean, he had a lot of, you know, talk after what happened with how his agent handled the whole Atlanta saga. He's there, I believe, through 27.
That's
so
correct.
He's there for another 3 years, and it was highly talked about. It was 6 years, $160, something like that. It was the whole, well, that whole drama with his agent was ridiculous. He's getting paid. He loves LA. He's going to finish his career in LA. I do not remember there being any opt-outs. If there were, he's still not opting out. He's going to stay there. He's making stupid money, and he's playing for the one team in Major League Baseball that's willing to do whatever they need to do in order to bring a contender there year in and year out. Any player that signs a contract in LA, I mean, I can't tell you how many games I've been to this year, baseball. I've been, you know, Fenway, been Anaheim, been LA, been in the Dodgers already this year too. This is a team that's willing to do whatever they need to do. I mean, they made Shohei Ohtani the richest player in Major League Baseball, giving him the biggest contract in professional sports. And he just proceeded to set history today. 6 for 6 with 3 homers, 10 RBIs. I mean, just what are we doing? You know, the Red Sox need to make, they're going to need to overpay whatever next free agent they're going to get in order to try to make Boston a destination city again. Right now, we are not a destination city.
Freeman, as much as I would have loved to have had him, and he's probably in my top five of favorite non-Red Sox players, hits from the left side. That's the only bugaboo.
I mean, he's not hitting the same way he did this year as he did last year, the year before that. You know, he's 34 years old. By the time of his contract's, you know, termination, and by the time of its end, he's going to be 37 years old. He might be hitting 270. He'll maybe hit 15 to 20 home runs, but he's going to play premier defense. And that's a position that you really need, first base.
I'm more talking about when he signed his original deal with LA. No, my biggest thing was Freddie Freeman over Story was the biggest mess up by Bloom. Could have traded Casas for pitching 3 years ago. We could have had Freddie Freeman, who loves to hit in Fenway. I think he said that openly before, that he likes Fenway Park. I don't know if they would have gone over the Dodger deal, but there was some interest in Freddie Freeman in Boston. So this team would be way different right now if that deal was signed, as Trevor Story was not here.
Yeah, where's Casas?
Wherever they traded him for a starting pitcher, hopefully.
Hopefully
if Bloom made the right call.
Yeah.
Well, you probably don't have, let's see, this is his third year. Yeah, you wouldn't have Yoshida.
No.
So Casas could be DHing or something.
You also probably make the playoffs in 2022 because Freddie Freeman was amazing.
Yeah.
And Trevor Story was terrible.
Yeah, there were a lot of mistakes. They were just, I mean, that's it. That's all you could say. There was a lot of mistakes. Plenty. Anything else you gents want to add? Well, that is going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.